stand up.
Okay.
All right, I will call us to order for this Drainage District Grant 13 discussion. And Tyler asked you just to kind of take us through preliminarily where we are and why we're sitting here talking today.
Check.
We're actually going to switch off here and there based on the program as we go. This is the agenda, and I guess we'll just...
Go ahead, Tyler. Hit the button. And the lights. Thanks, Wayne. No popcorn today. That's good, thanks. Well, this is Tyler and I, first time to actually talk as a part of what we call the new Drainage Ditch Maintenance Program for Story County. My name is Joe Koiker. I've been around for about 23 years working for Story County Conservation here in Story County as a vegetation management biologist, natural resource biologist, work with a lot of landowners. And Tyler is brand new. Well, he's been around for a while, but he did for about 5 years. But he's full time, starting July 1st of this year as the vegetation management specialist. And that's kind of why we're here for about the next 6 or 7 minutes, talk a little bit about the program going on, and then we can get into the project. So this is, you're kind of our guinea pigs out there, the four of you, on how we're gonna approach this. There's about 56 miles of open ditch in Story County and about 52,000 feet of tile districts, and a lot of those open up into an open ditch outlet within the district boundaries. And there's a lot of backlog on maintenance over the past few years. Go ahead. But as you well know, there's, you know, a lot of what tree roots can do, along with things like reed canary grass, which we're not really worried about at this point, but vegetation in general can plug the tiles up. And as these open ditches get older in Story County, there's a lot of trees growing along some of them. And as I go through here, you'll see that we've categorized some of these, all of them, actually, all the open ditches into different ratings on how much brush there is as a problem brush. But again,
Joe, let's spend just a second
talking about this right here for the four gentlemen sitting here. Let's talk about why we have a drainage maintenance program now that Story County did not have previously.
We're on the way there.
Okay.
We're getting there. So Now we do it. Actually, the program that I started under was the Weed Commissioner program called and the Integrated Roadside Vegetation Management Program. That was in place in 1987. Part of that plan called for, and in my job description said, vegetation management in drainage districts or open ditches. Well, we really didn't prioritize that a lot. We did a little bit of work. I would actually go out with some help, and we'd cut some trees down and treat the stumps in areas that we could do in-house. But again, that's 20 years ago. So 20 years of succession, and you can see that the trees are getting more and more. And as requests from the community and a strong urging of the Board of Supervisors, and the acting as our drainage district trustees, we decided to start a program, and that program brought Tyler on all the work we do in-house and supervising some of the contractors we hope to start at some point on some of these projects will be billed back to the drainage districts, and the program will be cost neutral. I think I can say that. So that's the plan. Is that what you're getting at, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I wanted to let you guys know is the three of us are sitting up here as Board of Supervisors serving as Drainage District Trustees. We've had a couple projects come to us. We're in the middle of one right now where the ditches, nothing's happened to them in the last 50 or 60 years. And in one case now, it's 90 years that nothing's happened. And so instead of it being a $30,000 project to go in and take care of a few things, we're talking about, in one case, a $900,000 project, a $700,000 project. And so in discussing kind of where we were here in Story County, knowing that we've got these 56 miles of open ditches and everything, we decided, wouldn't it be better in the long run if we actually took care of these things on a yearly, ongoing basis rather than just waiting until things are so out of hand that we've got to go in and basically blow it up and start over again, which is huge cost. And that's how this program got started. And we really are in the infancy of this program, where Tyler and Joe have been out and are just taking an inventory of every open ditch that we have, what kind of shape it's in, what problems we see, and what we can take care of immediately. And that led us to this conversation that we're going to go ahead and have tonight. And so, Mike, Joe, Wayne, Paul, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that. I just kind of want to give you guys kind of a baseline of how we got where we are tonight.
Well, just one little point to add. I've served on the board now. This is my 13th year. And property landowners didn't bring a request to the board or to the drainage trustees regarding actually cleaning out some of these things until just recently. And then we discovered that the magnitude of the work was, really going to be a major task. And most of it couldn't be done in-house, and we would have to probably farm it out. As a result of that, we had probably 50, 60 people here a couple times in a couple of meetings, and we went through the whole process, and as a result of that, the general sentiment of the group was, hey, let's start some type of a regular maintenance so that future years from now, we will not be coming back before whatever board is sitting here and then having costs that would be absorbent and so forth. So as this was brought to our attention, we went back, as Joe said, and did an analysis and realized that, no, we hadn't done anything, primarily because landowners back at that time didn't really want to or didn't bring to our attention a direct need. Now, that didn't mean that the engineers and Joe, if they saw certain things that had to be done from the county's perspective, those were taken care of. But generally speaking, this was something that was initiated by landowners like yourself. But it makes a lot of sense when you see a lot about what we've already talked about and some of the work that is already in place, that this is probably the best solution to make sure that, you'll be able to utilize your fields in the way in which you'd like to.
Okay. Well, with that, some of what we're going to do is in-house. Some of it's beyond our capability. And that's where we're at today with getting some quotes from contractors in place after we did inventory our areas on the severity of brush. So go ahead, Dan. Here we go. Some we can do ourselves. That's scattered enough where we can control ourselves. But as you look at Grant 13, that's a little tougher. And we want to throw in there our conservation efforts. Being backed by the conservation, we are going to promote buffer strips when we can. We're looking at what our our access is, what we're going to stand behind as far as being able to access these areas. And as you can see, if it's 50 feet from the center of the open ditch, Tyler's standing out 50 feet. So 50 feet each way from the center of the ditch. This isn't Grant 13. This is just a typical one. It's north of Nevada, actually. Maybe some shrub plantings. And we're going to plant it after we're done if there's any areas that are bare soil. We're going to use some long-lived perennial plants that can hold the soil and hopefully reduce erosion and keep the integrity of the system intact. So, that's kind of the song and dance, I think, Rick, you're after as far as how the program started.
Yep.
Now we're I'm going to let Tyler talk. He's going to let me back away, and he's the one doing the hands-on, putting the maps together here on grant number 13. And Scott, you can chirp in as you need to, or however the process works.
Alrighty, on this map I got here, that green line would be the outside edge of the district. The orange line is the actual open ditch as it flows south into the Skunk River. The main part that we're actually concerned about is highlighted in this red box. That's the area where there's a lot more trees. North of the 265th, there's scattered trees all over, but they're really not that big of a problem to the point where we need to bring contractors in. That's more of a in-house project, going along cutting a tree every 200, 300 feet. It's a lot more cost effective if we did it in-house than if we would have packaged the whole thing together. This is the east side of the ditch. As you're looking south, as you can see, there's already a little bit of water puddling up on this side of the ditch, be it from the snow melt, or there's quite a bit of tree growth along that open ditch. This would be the west side of the ditch, sitting on the other side of the bridge looking south. As you can see, it's getting pretty woolly in there. This is mainly our real concern here. You can see these trees are actually growing out of the ditch, and they're basically making a wall of nothing but root balls and hazardous, it's really just going to hinder the water flowing into the ditch and off of the ag property. This is on the bridge. Once again, you can just see a little bit of brush here and there. These open ditches attract beavers, and beavers like to dam it up, and that's just another concern that we have, where if we cleaned out these trees and we promoted a little bit of tall grass, you're not going to have the beavers in there, and we're not going to risk flooding by that. As you can see, we got a little bit of erosion issues here. These trees do well to hold the soil right where they're at, but they're not holding the soil all the way around it. Once again, there's a pretty big root ball on the other side of that that's hindering the water flow behind it. This is the time, where the contractor quotes that we got in. I requested these quotes, I think it'd be in December sometime. We went through four different contractors. We sought removal of the trees in the open ditch, Grant 13, with a diameter of 2 inches or greater. The way I figured it, if we would go down in size anymore, it was just going to be more of a hassle. The 2 inches or greater... The 2 inches or greater, I think, is where we're looking at, where it's not going to be too hindering for the contractors.
So we sent these out. We only got four quotes back. You know how that works. We didn't, pick four. So if you're wanting to bid on any, we...
Well, I'm just curious.
Sure.
There will be, yes.
There'll be an opportunity. But if you would, only thing I'll ask is come up to the microphone just because we're recording all of this for posterity. Yeah. And if you don't mind, introduce yourself for the record and then.
My name's Charles Potter, and I just want to clarify what you were back a few slides. You were showing where the orange square was there. So these quotes that you're getting are just for the trees in the ditch that are inside that orange square, or are we talking, because like you were showing a picture where the ditch goes south on south and then it angles off, and then when it turns and goes straight south again, that ditch I know is full of a lot of trees, and so I just was wondering what the quote actually covers.
The quote actually covers the square that's in right there. We've looked over the section to the north, and we think that's more. We think we can get it done a lot more cheaper than if we would have went with contractors on that. Once again, there's not as woolly of tree growth, and most of the trees in there are singular big trees that we could get out there. Yeah.
Okay, but the orange square is the north end of the ditch, and then as it travels south, it angles to the south, and then it goes on south to the goes on south, doesn't it?
The way you're looking at the map.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The north end. So you're not cleaning out that angle.
No, we're cleaning out the south end.
Oh.
Everything's south of 265.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, 265 down to the Skunk River.
Yep.
Right? I mean, is that that's basically what we're looking at.
That's the project area.
But then you're not suggesting you're not going to clean out north of 265. You're saying you're going to handle that.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. So we're up to
yeah.
So what we're suggesting for you guys today is Tyler and Joe are coming forward with a recommendation that we need to get in there and clean out that section of the ditch from 265 south to the Skunk River.
Mm-hmm.
We got four quotes. The lowest one I saw was $12,500.
Yep, $12,500.
Scott, have you worked up totals of what that would be for all the property owners?
Yeah, we've got totals for a $15,000 levy and a $20,000 levy.
So that everybody could have an idea of what exactly it would cost them if we did this.
Yes. Mr. Potter's already seen that.
Okay.
He's got it with him right now, in fact.
Perfect. And so the rest of you guys, if you want to see that, to see what we're talking about, that would cost everybody. And then now's the portion of the meeting where we'd love to hear comments from you guys. If you think this ditch is fine just like it is and we don't need to do anything, anything and everything that you'd like to add to this discussion today would be, you'd be welcome.
We could probably add that the trustees are held by the code to maintain the ditches
yep.
in their original design capacity. We have had some issues where they've deferred to landowners and not done anything, with probably the expectation that something's going to happen in the future at some point.
Well, when the time that we deferred, it was because there was a movement by some of the landowners to either take over the district themselves, which is an option you guys have, or disband the district, which is an option you guys have collectively. I mean, you'd have to get everybody in the district to agree to that. But so you do have some options in front of you. Just as long as the supervisors are serving in the capacity of drainage district trustees, we're bound by code to try to get these things back to original condition, whatever that means. Go ahead, sir.
George Martin's with the Iowa DOT. I'm an area engineer for the DOT. And I handle drainage problems, and it's been brought to my attention by a property owner that this meeting was taking place tonight. I don't know where my notification got lost or what, but we never got the notification.
We have a bad address for the DOT.
We have a bad address for the DOT. Okay, well, we need to take care of that.
Our office and gave me his card this afternoon, and we'll get that correct.
The post office all of a sudden decided that they didn't know where US 30 East was. They had to have a 911 number. Anyway, it came to my attention that Drainage District 13, I think it's Grant 13, was severed during the 60s by the interstate highway. And we have, I looked at the as-builts today, and we have no drainage from the west side of I-35 going to the east side.
Okay.
And
so how is the water getting from west of I-30?
It's traveling down the interstate ditches to the Skunk River.
Yep.
So I don't know if this is the proper time, but I'm asking for a reclassification.
Yeah, we're the guys who can order a reclassification, but the way that has to happen, as I understand it, is it takes three engineers, two of them have to live outside of the district. Just take us through. What is a reclassification?
I'm not sure that the other two have to be engineers, but it's one professional engineer and two, I believe the code says, freeholders who live outside the district. There's an engineering firm over in Jefferson that does these. There may be others. That's the Jefferson one's the only one we're familiar with. But they come in and reclassify the district. What that means is they're just reassessing the benefits to each owner in the district. There's no guarantees with reclassification. It could come out exactly like it is. It could annex additional lands into the district. It could take land out of the district, which is a possibility in this case.
In this case, sure.
But you don't know what you're going to get until it's done, and you have to pay for it.
The landowners that are in the drainage district right now would be the ones paying for it.
Yes. If it gets you out of the district in the long run, it may be beneficial. And by long run, we're talking 30, 40, 50 years, depending on however much the classification costs.
And what do those cost?
We've done one, Boone Story 4, and I never saw the actual cost because Boone County is controlling, but I think the estimates were around $45,000 to $50,000 for that one.
Yep.
And this is a complete guess, but for a district this size, a relatively small district, I would think it'd run $25,000 to $30,000.
Does the code say anything about what we, as drainage district trustees, when we are made aware that a drainage district, the way it was designed, has clearly changed through I-35 coming through there, and you guys showing no drainage going under it, are we bound by any provision of the code to say, okay, we've got to reclassify now because the people who we thought were being served on the west side of I-35 aren't being served?
Unfortunately, not up on that aspect of the code, but there are some sections in there in the code about when reclassification is maybe not a shall, but it's advised.
Right. And that's kind of a word.
And I'm looking through the records of this district this afternoon after Mr. Martins came in, there is no mention of I-35 anywhere.
Okay.
As far as the district is concerned, it never happened from the records of the district.
I would
just no acknowledgement of it.
It would be appropriate to have our county attorney look at that. I mean, obviously it's a unique situation. When they formed this district 100 years ago, nobody envisioned an interstate slicing through the district and cutting basically, I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, cutting it in half. And for me, it would be a little rough to swallow if I was a landowner in that district to pay for a reclassification because the interstates cut the district in half, yet I'm going to have to fork up for a $25,000 or $30,000 reclassification because of the interstate. So I think maybe
refer it back to.
Well, I think we need to do a little research on it.
Scott, when we had some discussions with Boone Story a few years ago, and we were talking about ditch clean out and several things, you know, Highway 30 was one of the big question marks at that particular time, I believe. And, of course, once, you know, the state, in this case, was a controlling interest, it did have some impact on the district tiles and in that particular area. Now, when we went through and had the discussion regarding the reclassification, it was primarily driven by the fact that a few landowners, or one in particular, really wanted to see, didn't believe that the level of benefit that was currently assigned would be accurate under those scenarios, and the reclassification was agreed upon, and we followed through with that. I think the end result, there was very little deviation or change once the reclassification was actually done. So it did not really change a great deal. That's not to say that in this case it wouldn't change it. But I think that's what Scott was alluding to earlier. Sometimes you pay anywhere between $25,000 and $40,000 for the reclassification in the hopes that maybe more people are going to be brought in that currently wasn't in before, or the level of benefit would be such that the cost would not be as absorbent on any one particular landowner. And we would not have a say in that. That's something that would be determined once the engineers did their report and a reclassification, but then the end result would be the cost would be shifted back to the landowners itself to pay for that. Then you've got to deal with if there is to be ongoing maintenance and clean out, that's on top of the reclassification aspect of that. So I think it's just important that that option be fully understood, because it would not be our position to basically try to tell you to move for reclassification or not move. That's really has to be a decision of the landowners within that area, in my opinion. But I could be wrong, but I think I agree with Paul and Rick. This, again, could be something that we could ask our legal counsel to research that option. But early on, that was something that both the City of Ames and the Story County's attorney at that time did not see that we as a county had any authority to move forward to order reclassification, with because then we're passing on the cost to the landowners without you know their say. But we would have to at least bring the district back up to the original
design capacity.
Once we've determined that there is some obstruction and it's changed, and we have to do something. So
I think the only way you'd ever be able to do that is to tunnel underneath the interstate. I mean, basically, it's divided into two districts.
Yeah, you can't. This is going to be an interesting question. Thank you for digging into it and figuring out that there's nothing there.
I would have never been aware of it unless I started looking into it. And then I think you're on the right track, because you have property owners on the west side that are part of the drainage district, and they're not being served. And as the DOT, we will always have a footprint through this drainage district, you know, so it's no benefit to us, but it was just something that I thought should be brought up.
I think it's really worthy. I had heard rumblings that there was...
East side or west side?
Well, I'm on the west side, and I'm the person who brought this, this issue up.
Right.
And my feeling about it is... You would have thought that this reclassification and process would have been done at the time the interstate was.
Should have been part of the interstate going through. Is this drainage district should have been reclassified if, in fact, we were going to do away with any drainage?
So you're not being served by the district at all.
Correct, and well, not by that ditch.
Right.
My water runs along the west side of the interstate down to the Skunk River, and what I'm saying. Because I've owned the farm for 15 years.
Yeah.
I hopefully don't have to hire an attorney, because I'm not going to pay for part of the reclassification cost, and I'm not going to pay for part of this ditch coming out, because there's no possible way that I'm responsible. That should have, the reclassification process, whatever it is, should have been done the day or the year the interstate was put through.
Sure, as long and I don't disagree with anything you just said, as long as you understand that we're not the group who makes that decision one way or another. What we can do from here is we can refer this to our legal counsel, it'd be the county attorney in this case, and say, hey, here's the situation. We now, for the first time, have information saying this drainage district has been basically split in half by I-35. What was supposed to flow from west to east and north to south now is cut off by the interstate. What do we do? And we may find out that our only option is reclassification, in which case you're going to have to do whatever it is you've got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to at least find out what our options are here, because this one, guys, to me, it looks at least muddy enough that I'm not willing to do anything until I know what...
I don't think I am either.
Drainage district is.
You know, if nothing else, you know, maybe that west side of the interstate either needs to be its own district, or if nothing else, taken off of Grant 13, because they're not getting any benefit from anything that's east of the interstate. And like you said, your water runs west of the interstate and then down the interstate ditch to the Skunk River.
Yeah, there's no way that it can get through the interstate.
Right. Well, if DOT doesn't show anything going under, there's nothing. I mean, you guys keep pretty good records.
There's no culverts, no tiles.
Yeah. Nothing. So you put in, as you put in the interstate, you put in a ditch that goes straight to the Skunk River and drains into that.
It's got a back slope to control the water within the right-of-way. And
I tell you what, I'll give one other option here. Scott, talk to us about abolishing a drainage district. We don't have the authority to do it. I'm serious. We don't have the authority to do it, but the landowners, in there's certain percentages that have to kick in. You know those off the top of your head?
It's, you have to have over half the landowners controlling more than half the land in the district.
And there's 19 landowners in this district.
Right. Some of those being governmental entities. So
yeah.
There's probably 14 private.
Does DOT count as a landowner in this?
Yes.
Yes.
DOT, Story County, City of Ames, City of Nevada.
So we need to find 10 of the 19 landowners that own at least 50% of the ground in the district.
Yes.
To say, let's abolish this district.
And I think the City of Ames and City of Nevada would be legitimate landowners. They've got well fields, and they own several acres.
Right.
Story County, it's a benefit to right of way.
And there's no cost to doing that, though, right? I mean, there's no cost to abolishing a district. It's just a matter of putting
right.
it together.
And that ditch would be the responsibility of whoever's land it fell across at that
what
point.
What about the east side of the interstate? I mean, are they still reaping any benefit from the... I mean, if you abolish the whole district...
The ditch would still be there, but there wouldn't be a district to maintain that ditch.
Each landowner would be responsible for that ditch, but you're only
right.
talking about, I mean, what, you're talking about less than a mile of ditch, Tyler?
No.
How much are we talking about?
It'd be 11,000 feet, so 2 miles, yeah.
2 miles.
Yeah.
For the entire ditch.
Okay.
Oh. That's for the ditch within the district. It does extend to the north. Is that where you're headed?
Right.
Yeah, just that one portion. Yeah.
Anything that happens in that district is responsibility of the whole district, even if it's just a small part of the district that it's impacting.
Right.
I wrote the letter, but I wasn't privy to the fact that they were looking at one section, so that was my error.
Okay. The letter said they were going to clean out 11,000 feet.
Okay.
But they're not cleaning out 11,000
right.
feet.
Right.
Absolutely.
What I was getting to was if the drainage district was abolished, what happens to that 2 miles of ditch? And what in fact happens to it is it reverts to ownership of the property owner button up against it, and it becomes their responsibility to do whatever they want with it, right?
Right. That's really my feeling, is I'm all in favor of these drainage ditches being cleaned out and where the trees cut off. I know several where the beavers, I've pulled beaver dams out. I know there's a lot of problems. But once the county and then the landowners, you know, we hired these contractors to come in, and once a ditch gets, all the trees are cut off, from that point on, the landowners need to, you know, walk over, be responsible for their trees on that ditch. And if everybody would just go down through there once a year with a chainsaw, you got little trees coming up, zip, 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 and then it would be no cost. I mean, I think it's fantastic to get them cleaned out, but once they're cleaned out, each individual landowner or farmer needs to do his part and keep them little trees cut down.
Yeah, I don't disagree. There's just
we don't disagree with what you're saying, but we as a county cannot pass that responsibility on to each individual landowner. Once we have determined that there is an issue, we had a group in here a few months back last fall when we talked about I think it was around a $700,000 cost for the work that was going to be done, and that was something one of them basically talked about all the work that he individually had done on his little portion and didn't see why he would have to contribute to the overall cost. But unfortunately, because he was within the district, he had to contribute to the cost. And I agree with you 100%. And we've talked to our legislators. They are starting to take at least a look at this. But the irony of this, folks, is that in other parts of northwest Iowa, they have way more drainage districts than what we have. And I was talking to one of the county supervisors, and he said, while you guys were talking about $700,000, he said, we're talking in the neighborhood of several million in cost to clean out some of those.
One for $2 million?
So,
and
yeah.
Doing $1 million project
yeah.
right now.
So, and they really saying it's very hard for us to kind of come back and tell the landowners that we need to really go through a reclassification process and try to change this whole system as archaic as it is, because
of the cost factor. So I think the important thing of the public hearing is to get all the landowners together to understand what the issues that we are faced with and how we can work with you, and what is it that you think is the best way that you'd like to see this issue resolved. Yeah.
Anybody else want to comment tonight? Anybody else have anything to add?
I just have one
more
comment.
Oh, sorry.
I think this program that you're trying to set up is a good one.
Thank you.
Because I remember when I was a child, the drainage ditches used to have cottonwoods 50 to 100 feet high, and they came in, took them all out, redredged it, and that's expensive today.
So yep.
I think this is a great program.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Steve Duvall. I'm with the City of Ames. And
you're going to pay for all this, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, both of our properties are essentially the red box. So okay. Where the work's going to be done. But I wanted to understand a little bit better about exactly what kind of work is going to be done there. Obviously, removal of trees. Is it purely control of vegetation, or are these ditches going to be reworked? You know, I mean, is the silt that's built up in them going to be, you know, are they going to be put back to their original standard? Is that the idea?
That is not the quote in front of us today. Ultimately, the idea, yeah, we would love, and we had a meeting yesterday just talking through where we are in this program and what we're doing. We would love if 15, 20 years down the road, we get all our ditches back kind of to original state, and then we keep them there. That's the ultimate goal. It's not going to happen anytime in the foreseeable future. But for this ditch, as I understand it, we're just talking this quote that we have is just to go in and remove all the trees 2 inches and above in that one stretch of ditch.
Okay, and like areas that you know where you showed a few examples of where there were washouts and erosion, is the intention to repair those or do anything with that? Stabilize it somehow.
The areas that have bare soil, or when we get done with the work, any bare soil areas, we will actually go back in and reseed with tall grass in the hopes of controlling erosion in those bare spot areas.
Okay. Okay.
No dirt work. No dirt work.
No dirt work at all
right now.
Okay. Okay.
It would be, you know, and you have to understand down there when it rains a lot or floods to try and get anything seeded in. Seen it 10 times and never been successful.
Right. Out, yeah.
It's a challenge on the river bottom.
Yeah. When removing those trees, you know, I'm thinking of some that might have a pretty good stump left to them. Is stump removal part of that? Or
would not be part of it. We would cut them off and treat the stumps.
Okay. Okay.
Typically, the problem with taking the stump out is that you got a huge hole. If you take it out in the ditch,
yeah,
float the ditch, and then you either got to fill it in with something that's hopefully not going to wash out. So
restabilize.
What the engineer tells us is you're better off leaving the stump and the root ball on the slope of the ditch and maintain the integrity of the ditch.
Yeah. Okay. As far as abolishing a district or pursuing that, you know, I think it's good to maintain districts because then you've got continuity between, you know, for the whole system and it's going to work properly. I don't think I would be for abolishing it. Maybe since it's split, but, you know, this is split now by the interstate, perhaps it needs to be changed into 2 new districts or something like that. I don't know, but... you know, I think it makes sense to keep the landowners joined in a way that the whole system works properly.
I don't disagree with you. And the other districts that we've talked about, I felt very strongly that there's a reason we have these drainage districts. I mean, there's a reason that they exist. This one, I just... I don't know how I view this one yet because of I-35, and now for the first time understanding that that truly is splitting the district. I mean, it truly is not operating as it was originally designed, and there's no way for us to put it back as it was originally designed.
I'm in favor of drainage districts, but like I said, some of the people in the drainage district are not getting, we're not getting any benefit from
right.
The
ditch. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So then if they can just readjust who pays to clear out the trees, leave the drainage district alone. If the people, if the owners, the landowners that are on the east side say, yes, it's our trees, we're the one, our water drains into the ditch, we'll pay for the cost. The people on the west side, you're off the hook.
Yep. Right, the way it exists right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't do that right. The way the code's set up. We have to, everybody in the district gets levied according to benefit.
According to original benefit, which was pre
I-35,
right.
Yeah.
Pre
I-35
benefit. Right. I believe where we're headed tonight, and we'll get to that here in just a minute, but I believe where we're headed is referring this to our civil attorney who will go back and research, is there any case law? There has to have been cases like this other places in Iowa where a road or something has split a drainage district, and we just got to get in and find out what our options are and then move ahead from there.
It may be that if we reclassify the owners, if the people west of the interstate are not part of the district anymore, they may not have to pay. I mean,
yeah, we might find that out. Absolutely.
When I said that reclassification, everybody pays under the original classification, that's just what I've heard from an engineer that the county has worked with. We haven't gotten that from reading the code ourselves, yep. And that's where we need our civil attorney, as Paul alluded to and Rick alluded to.
I mean, it makes complete sense to me that it would be fair that only the people who benefit from the ditch pay for the maintenance.
That's the intent.
That's the intent.
So in that case, you know, I think it would need to be split and redistricted.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My opinion.
But appreciate you being here.
Yeah. I did have a question about how does the cost work here, this levy? The $15,000 is like roughly the estimate to do the work, right?
Right, and when we levy drainage districts, we levy such that there's some money left in the districts, or if something breaks the next year, we're not turning around and levying you again. So if we do a $12,500 project in this particular district, we might want to have $1,000 or $1,500 left after that cost is paid. That's why that $15,000 is kind of what I saw as a worst case for this particular bid, or these particular quotes.
Okay, so this total assessment number is basically what we would see for our properties.
Yes.
Okay.
Are they assessed? I've never done this before. They like say they go ahead and accept a bid, which I assume we can't accept a bid if we don't know who's going to pay for it. But if they do this, like I think mine was $1,600. Okay. Do they put that on your taxes and you pay for it over a period of 10 years, or is it one lump sum? Here they hang your bill for $1,600?
It is. It's one lump sum. The code does make allowances for the trustees to allow people to split their payments over a 10 to 20 year period. They'd choose the term. You can also go out to a bank and get a loan. The trustees could say, we're going to let you spread your payments over 10 years, and that's for anything over $100 per tax parcel, and they'd set the interest rate.
Which for Story County is 7% right now.
Yeah, 7%. So you might go to a bank and just get a better deal anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. given what interest rates are today.
We don't want to compete with the lenders as well. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm just curious.
Yep. Good. Anything else? Thank you.
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Kurt, do you have anything tonight? Okay.
Yeah, he's with me.
I don't know how we can go forward with anything other than just referring this back to the county attorney and getting an opinion on what we can do as trustees as far as directing any kind of work be done. I mean, I know if I was Mr. Potter and I got an assessment for work that's done on the district that I'm a part of, but I'm not reaping any benefit from, I'm going to be a little testy. So
I feel comfortable going back and checking things over.
Yeah. Yeah, but please just let the individuals who or the companies who submitted the bid, just let them know that this is on hold while we gather some more information. And Wayne, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to that effect that we refer this back to the county attorney's office for an opinion and we not take any action as far as the bids. We haven't even seen the bids, so.
Second that, Wayne?
Yes. So, second the motion.
Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Referred back to civil attorney. We will keep the landowners in the district notified of what's going on. With
thanks,
that.
Thanks for bringing this up.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I hate to cause problems. I really do.
No. If I was sitting in your chair, I'd be doing the same thing. My first thought was, well, DOT has to have put some drainage under the interstate. They can't. So it's great having him here tonight to clarify for us, and thank you. Any other business for us? Scott, anything else for us?
No.
I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Hold on a minute. Don't put it yet.
I'm good. I just want to talk to Tyler.
Yeah, man.